Let's read what Psalm 107 says. Would you read it with me? Nice and loudly, go. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Stop for a second. Now watch this next word, then. You see, God doesn't preempt disappointments. He follows them up. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble.
Yeah.
When did God deliver them? When they cried out to the Lord. We learn to cry out.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. We all experience disappointments in life, dreams that have been dashed by circumstances beyond our control. But depending on how you handle it will often determine how God will proceed in your life. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, When Disappointment Changes Your Plans.
Today we're going to be talking about disappointment and how God sees it and how God uses it. And sometimes disappointment can actually change your plans, as is in the funny story of a pastor that was having a very disappointing relationship with his song leader. And every time the pastor would say something, the song leader would counteract that. And so one Sunday, the pastor got up and preached on the importance of giving. And the song leader got up right after him and led the song, Jesus Paid It All. So the next Sunday, the pastor did a message on not gossiping. And the song leader got up and led the hymn, I Love to Tell the Story. So he's getting a little disappointed. And the next Sunday, the pastor got up and spoke on being willing to change and submit to your leaders. And the song leader got up and led the hymn, I Shall Not Be Moved. So finally, the pastor got so disappointed, the following Sunday, he resigned in front. And he said to the congregation, Jesus brought me here, and now Jesus is taking me away. The song leader got up and led the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I was with an intern last week, and he was heading back to a mission field. He was actually heading out to be an assistant pastor in Tokyo. And before he left, because he'd be leaving in about 2 days, he sat with me in my office and he said, Wayne, I'm leaving in 2 days. Tell me one thing that I really need to know before I go out there. I really need one thing. And I thought, oh, there's lots of things. He said, well, just one then, just one. I said, okay, here's one thing. When you go out, learn how to manage your disappointments, because you're going to have a lot of them. We can all make great decisions when the wind is at your back and the sun is shining, people are speaking well about you, and it's Christmas Day. But what will determine your future and your fruitfulness will be how you manage disappointments. Now, God is very concerned about the disappointments, because it's in that cauldron, it's in that moment, it's in that event where so much classroom can take place. It becomes a classroom. Everything else, we're kind of chilling, but over here, it's like this is a classroom moment. It's a teachable moment. God's very concerned how we respond in the midst of disappointing situations. We're either going to change our plans for the good, or we'll change our plans for the worse. And so he's very compassionate about those that are hurting. He understands our hurts, but he won't take them away. He'll heal us through the hurts. And that's why he actually, when he speaks about this in the New Testament, he reaches back to the book of Isaiah. And he pulls out a word that Isaiah says, and he actually brings it into the New Testament when people were wondering about his purpose in teaching or preaching the gospel. And it's in your notes. If you will take your notes out, right at the top of your notes, we're going to find a passage out of Isaiah, and we'll also see it on the board. So would you read it in your greatest, loudest, clearest thespian voice? Let's read this together. Go. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captive, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, and the oil of joy instead of mourning, in a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. It's so easy to lapse into one or the other because it's not always easy to bounce out of disappointment. It'll require courage. It'll require trust. It'll require some humility. But nothing takes God by surprise. The scripture says that there is a season to mourn and there's a season to rejoice. And every single one of us is going to go through both. We'd like to take one and circumvent the other, but it's not in the cards. We will learn as much or more in our seasons to mourn than in our seasons of rejoicing. It's okay to go through a season of mourning, but it's not okay to get stuck there. Because then disappointments will act like potholes that stymie your future, causes you to ruminate on the negative, and it begins to pull you into this dark, dark hole, this dark vortex. And so God wants you to move out of that. How? He says He'll give us beauty for ashes. What's ashes? Well, ashes would be the places in life that you got burned. You suffered loss. It's just charred. You can't return there anymore. It's done. Maybe it could be the consequences of wrong choices, ashes. But He says, I'll give you beauty in exchange for your ashes. What's beauty? Beauty is His restoration. It's redemption. It's His healing. It's causing you to come through the fire far more than you could have ever imagined, far greater than you were before the fire. But I want you to remember this. He doesn't deliver us from the fire. He delivers us through the fire. Because there's a refining process, and that's the key. There's a refining process. Everybody has experienced disappointments in their life. Someone let you down. You didn't get that raise. You didn't get that job you wanted. You applied and hoped and prayed, but you didn't get into that program. But we have to be careful so that we don't get stuck there and think that's our lot in life. That's all we're going to get. We can't rise above it. Because then what happens is the pressure of all of that starts to push down on you. And there's some people that try to circumvent disappointments by underachieving, not getting involved in anything, not jumping in, not trying, not taking any risks, because then nothing will happen to me. Or others try to circumvent disappointments by overachieving, overtrying, overdoing it, being someone that does more than they should. But in either case, both will never make you immune from disappointments. Because when the pressure gets to you, you start becoming a drama artist. You can start to get disappointed over the smallest things. I mean, you get stuck behind a lady going 40 miles in a 60 mile an hour zone, and it just ruins your whole day. Or your mother-in-law calls for a surprise two-week visit. She's coming. And that's it. Your whole year is shot. It's in a restaurant, and there's this lady on the phone. Ring, ring, ring. She takes the phone call. Most of the time, you just, you know, mute it. But she takes the phone call, and her husband's sitting next to her, and she goes, "No, I'm so sorry. Oh, that's so disappointing." Well, she hangs up, and the husband turns to her and says, "Honey, what was going on? Was there like an illness or an accident?" She says, "Oh no, they ran out of chocolate chips at the grocery store." It's like, I was two tables away. I don't even know this woman, and my blood pressure shot up 20 points. Disappointments are inevitable, but misery is optional. Disappointments are inevitable, but misery is optional. Today, I want to introduce you to two classrooms of disappointment. And in each classroom of the Bible, there's going to be a lesson to be learned. Remember, it's in the midst of the fire that the refining takes place. And God says, I'll bring you beauty for ashes, so it won't consume you when you walk through the fire. When you walk through the floods, it says, it won't overcome you. But there will be a refining process if you will stay in faith and not get bitter. Please remember this. Suffering will change you, but not necessarily for the better. You have to choose that. Peter says it this way. Let those who suffer according to the will of God keep entrusting their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Interesting. Let those who suffer according to the will of God. And if Peter says, let those who suffer according to the will of God, if he says that, then maybe he's inferring that there is also a way to suffer that's not according to the will of God. Because we can suffer in a way that makes us angry, bitter, resentful, victimized, angry. Or there's a way to suffer that is according to the will of God that causes us to be humble, to cry out to God, to ask Him for help. You see, sometimes God removes all the props around you and you're disappointed in the circumstance. And what we try to do is we say, God, change the circumstance while we stay the same. Watch this. If I'm walking in life and I hit some bad circumstances and I say, God, remove the circumstances. And what if He miraculously did? Just poof, evaporated all the negative circumstances. Whew, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And we go a little bit more. Another situation happens that's negative, wrong, bad. Lord, remove the circumstances. Oh, wow, thank you very much. And we go a little bit more. Boom, another one. Lord, remove that person. Remove that. My brother, my sister, my friend that used to be my friend. I unfriended him. And boom, gone. Oh, cool. Thank you. And you keep doing this your whole life. And God keeps removing and changing the circumstance without changing you. After a whole lifetime, you're no better than when you began. But God's goal is to change you from glory to... So He leaves the circumstance until you are refined. And then you come through it. You see the difference? And then He's changing you through the circumstance from glory to glory to glory. Because His goal is not convenience. His goal is not leisure. His goal is likeness. And so He utilizes these for our good. So I want to introduce you today to two biblical classrooms. And the first classroom of disappointment teaches us this. Would you write it down somewhere? It teaches us to cry out to God. You see, sometimes you don't know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you got. And He removes all of the crutches, all of the surroundings, all of the things that we leaned on, depended on, trusted in, so that we can learn to trust in God and depend on Him. But before that happens, we come to a point of despair, disappointment, and we cry out to God. The question is, will you cry out to God or will you yell at people? Will you yell at God or cry out to God? Will we open our hearts to Him or shake our fists at Him? It's in the midst of disappointment that we learn to cry out to God. Let's read in the book of Hebrews, when Jesus entered moments of disappointment, let's read His response. Would you read it with me? Nice and loudly, go. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, He offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save Him from death. And He was heard because of His reverent submission or His humility. And I looked at that and I thought, wait a minute. Jesus is crying, and the New American Standard says it this way. In the days of His flesh, when He would pray with petition, with loud cryings and tears to the one who was able to save Him from death. And He was heard because of His piety. And I thought, if Jesus prayed with loud cryings and tears, I asked myself the question, Wayne, when was the last time you prayed with loud cryings and tears? Or have you become so galvanized to life? It's like, whatever, that person needs to change. He needs to do this. He needs to do that. And I just kind of motor on. And instead of stopping and saying, Lord, I need you. I need your help to see things more clearly. When was the last time you cried out to God with loud cryings and tears? Because you see, it takes us from a, I can do it myself, pull myself up from, by my own bootstraps. And it changes to, Lord, I want to trust in you and your ways. God, help me. I don't want to lean on myself. I want to lean on you. And the war that's going on within is a tough war, but I've got to win it. And I cry out to God for his help. Here's a funny story of Muhammad Ali, that one of the greatest fighters, boxers of all time. The story is told, he was on an airplane and they'd taken off, and they were just about to take off when the flight attendant went back and saw Mr. Ali and said, excuse me, sir, could you put on your seatbelt? We're about to take off. He looked up at her and said, my name is Muhammad Ali and I am Superman, and Superman don't need no seatbelt. The lady said, excuse me, sir, but we are taking off. It's a federal regulation. He said, I said, my name is Muhammad Ali. I am Superman, and Superman don't need no seatbelt. So the lady went back and went to the main lady and she said, excuse me, Mr. Ali is there and he won't put on his seatbelt. She said, I'll take care of him. So she walked back and she said, sir, we're taking off. You need to put on your seatbelt. He said, my name is Muhammad Ali and I am Superman, and Superman don't need no seatbelt. And the flight attendant looked at him and said, Superman don't need no airplane. Put on your seatbelt. Sometimes we think we're Superman until God takes away all the props and we realize that we're frail and we need Jesus more than ever before. And our heart cries out. And that's the point that God's waiting for us to get to, so that our hearts are supple and soft, moldable. How often we've learned from this world to not let our heart get soft. And we wonder why God waits. Maybe we should be waiting on him. You see, in the Old Testament, the same thing happening in Psalm 107. Now remember, he doesn't cause us to circumvent disappointment. He refines us through them. He delivers us through the disappointments. Let's read what Psalm 107 says. Would you read it with me? Nice and loudly, go. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Stop for a second. Now watch this next word, then. You see, God doesn't preempt disappointments. He follows them up. But it says they were hungry and thirsty. Their souls fainted within them. Now continue with me. Would you please go? Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their... Yeah. When did God deliver them? When they cried out to the Lord. We learn to cry out. Oh, there's going to be hurts. Oh, absolutely. I've felt them. You have too. But would you write this down somewhere? God never wastes a hurt. God never wastes a hurt. He will use it for his glory. Sometimes you might feel that you're right in the midst of one of these disappointments. I want you to stay in the faith and not get bitter, because God's going to use it as an ingredient for your good. Now, I want you to hear this very carefully. Those of you that have received Christ as Lord and Savior, because you're a child of God, he's going to treat you differently from those that don't know him. In fact, the book of Corinthians says it this way. It says, the natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. But you, because you have the Spirit of God within you, he's opened your mind to understand the things of God, and he's going to actually work with you differently, and the promises of God will come to pass, like Romans 8:28, that he's going to work all things together for to those that love God and are the called according to his purpose. You see that? So those that love God and are the called according to his purpose, he's going to actually work the promises of God for your good. But those are two prerequisites. So when you come to know Christ, he's going to treat you differently. Now, what I mean is this. When you come to Christ, nothing in life happens to you. They happen for you. When you come to Christ, Nothing in life just happens to you. It happens for you. Can you see God's involvement now? It's happening for you. Because He's going to work with you differently. Nothing in life happens to you. It happens for you.
Our God over all, our future is in You. All fear and all doubt are lost in Your presence. When all else fades away, Your promise
we'll be right back.
You've been listening to a message entitled, When Disappointment Changes Your Plans, by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening.
When you come to Christ, nothing in life happens to you. They happen for you. When you come to Christ, nothing in life just happens to you. It happens for you. Can you see God's involvement now? It's happening for you. Because He's going to work with you differently. Nothing in life happens to you. It happens for you.
For Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.